Well, I am thrilled to be here today. I'm honored. I just have to tell you a little background. I grew up in Northern California, where the average church size is about 40 people. And I knew Green Hills Baptist La Habra since I was little girl. I'm like, oh, that church. And so when Tiffany asked me if I would speak to you guys today, I was like, wow, I must have arrived, you know. But then when she told me the theme, I love gardening. I love gardens and the whole thing about, you know, God's miracle process of growth. I love growth in women and in children and in flowers and plants. And I love springtime. I love just to wander around my yard and watch for every little bud to start to come and how it grows and then the buds open and the flowers. And I just think, you know, it just shows me something about God. God wants growth. He wants growth in us. And so I just thought that it would be a fun thing to talk about God's growth in us. You know, like I said, I'm a fanatic about plants and gardening and stuff. Saddleback College, the community college in our area, has twice a year has a plant sale. And I mean, this is like Black Friday at Target, you know. And people line up outside the door. You know, you put it on your calendar, and it's like this cryptic thing. You have to go online and kind of figure out when it's going to be, and it's like a secret because nobody really knows about it. But they're lined up, you know, with their carts. And then you rush in there, and my husband stands on one side and marks our plants or stands with them and guards them, you know, and I'm tucking flats, like 20 flats of plants. And we did that just like a week ago. So I'm serious about this thing of growth and plants and gardening. And so I thought, you know, if we're talking about picnic in the garden, let's talk about the word bloom. And you've got some notes there. I know it's a ladies' luncheon, and I first thought, oh, I'm not going to do notes, but just too much of a speaker, teacher, I don't remember anything that people say if I don't write it down. So just grab that. And you know what? God may say something totally different to you, but you've got a piece of paper there. You can write down what he says. It may not be what I say at all, but just be ready to see what he might want to say to you. So let's look at that acrostic, just bloom, just simple. I love blooms. I like green shrubs are great, but they better have a bloom on them. So the first thing we're going to talk about is be the person God made you to be. I'm going to give you, and this is a really dangerous thing to do as a speaker, especially in a room full of women, but I'm going to give you a minute. I'm going to give you like a minute and a half. And I want you to go around your table, but then you have to promise to come back to me really quick, okay? Because we want to move along here this morning. But I want you to go around your table and just say, this is not deeply spiritual, okay? Don't talk about it a long time, but tell, if you could choose a plant to represent your life, what would it be? Just think about this for a second. If you could choose a plant that would represent you, I am most like a, you know, maybe you're like an orchid. Wait. I didn't say you could do it yet. Okay. Maybe you're like an orchid, exquisite but delicate, you know. Or maybe you're more like me, more like a zucchini plant, just kind of sprawling and very fast growing and very productive, but kind of all over the place. And you can hardly give them away. Or maybe you're more like an oak tree, you know, strong and dependable and deeply rooted, solid. You can choose to say what you wish represented your life, okay? So go, like a minute and a half. Just around your tables real quick. Okay, if you haven't gotten to say yours, just tell the person next to you, okay? Because we're going to wrap it up. So we all have images of ourselves, and we all have images of what we want to be and who we want to be. But a key thing about this, ladies, is that we have to decide to be the person that God made us to be. And you know that that is a unique thing. He is the landscape architect. He knows what the finished product is supposed to look like. One of my life verses is a verse that I really love in Isaiah 61:3. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And God calls me up short when I go my way. How silly would it be if my plants could talk to me? And my impatience says, I don't really want to be an impatience over here in the shade. I want to be a petunia out in the sun. Well, you know what? That's what I do to God sometimes. I go, God, I don't really want to be that person, you know, that I think you made me to be. You know, oh man, I loved your Reader's Theater. It really spoke to my heart, and that's those seeds, those things that God has given to us. I like you know this, but I'm not really sure I want to be something different. But we need to let God make us who he has made us to be. We have to in order to bloom, we have to be the person that God has made us to be. Look at that verse there on your outline, Colossians 2:19. It is from him, Jesus, that all the parts of the body are cared for and held together so it grows in the way God wants it to grow. The biggest thing about our growth, ladies, is that we have to let God do the directing of that growth. And we have to be the people that he has made us to be. Now, it's all great to buy plants, to look at pictures of beautiful gardens, to maybe take some walks in some gardens. But getting into the actual planting and weeding and caring for that plant or that garden gets to be kind of tough sometimes. But you know that plants need four essential things to bloom. They need soil, and they need food, and they need water, and they need sunshine. And so for those four last letters of this word bloom, we're going to look at what are those things, and then how do those things work in my life that I can grow into be the person that God made me to be. So the L is let love be your highest aim. And this is the soil. This is the soil of love. Jesus made it very clear that the purpose of our life is to be centered around love. In the Great Commandment, he says you're to love God and you're to love people. I love it in Scripture when God kind of boils things down and makes it really succinct. And I mean, the Great Commandment is just that. He says, love me and love people. And so I cannot tell you how many times God has to call me up short using the verse, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, we know, talks a lot about love. And we're very familiar with it, but God just stabs it in my heart often. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Love needs to be my highest aim. I can want to grow as a person and I can want to do great things, but I need to have love as my highest aim. It's like the soil of our lives, love is. And without it, everything else is meaningless. You know, I've had lots of flower beds that, you know, you plant and you water and you feed, you give them food and everything, and they just never do very well. But I remember one bed I had once, and I just said, phooey with this. I took out, somebody told me this is what I need to do, and I took out about 4 inches of the soil all the way down, took it completely out, put in all new soil. My plants thrived. You know, they were just gorgeous because love is like that in our lives. It's the soil. It's the thing that makes everything else meaningful. And without it, you know, there's no point in it. John 13:34 says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. It's a command. And it can't, so therefore it can't be an emotion because you can't command an emotion, you know, stop crying, stop feeling bad, you know. But Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. This is so important in our relationships. You know, there are lots of times when I don't necessarily feel love toward my husband, or particularly when I was raising my children, toward my children. But I was commanded to love them all the time. I mean, when we brought our first son home from the hospital, you know, you just have all those ooey-gooey feelings. You know, hormones are all out of whack. And, you know, you just think, oh, I remember, you know, Ryan is our oldest child, and he was just sobbing, you know, and just screaming, crying the first night. And I was holding him, and I didn't know what to do. And I looked at my husband and said, I didn't know you could love somebody so much in 24 hours. But when he wasn't sleeping through the night a year later, I didn't feel those same emotions. I did not, but I chose to love him. And I think that often, particularly as mothers, those of you who are mothers here in the room, we think that those feelings are automatic, and that the love that I have, I'm supposed to have for my children is an emotion that will just always well up. And that's not always true. It's just not. Sometimes you don't have that emotion. But love has to be our highest aim if we're going to grow into being the people that God wants us to be. The first O is obey the instructions in God's word. And this is the nourishment of God's word. This is the food that we so need in our lives in order to grow. You know, when I bring home a new plant, especially, I mean, I just did this last week. When I brought home something, I didn't know what it was. I get out my gardener's Bible, which is for me, the Sunset Western Garden Book, and I look it up, and I say, where am I supposed to plant it, and what kind of food does it need, and when do you prune it, and where in my garden should I plant it? I look for instructions, and you know, ladies, that God's Word has given us all the instruction we need for our growth, and we're not going to bloom until we learn to obey those instructions. Simple truths that you guys know, but we just need to be reminded of. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babies want milk, you should want the pure and simple teaching. By it, you can grow and be saved. I love that it's not on your outline there, but just because of space, but I love Psalm 1 that talks about what it means to grow and what we're like when we obey God's word. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow evil men's advice, who do not hang around with sinners, scoffing at the things of God. They delight in doing everything God wants them to do, and day and night are always meditating on his laws and thinking about ways to follow him more closely. They are like trees along a riverbank, bearing luscious fruit each season without fail. Their leaves shall never wither, and all they do shall prosper. When we obey God's word, we have fruit and we flourish in our lives. We grow. God's word lasts. You know, the flower fades I better look at it. Grass dies and the flowers fade, but the word of our God shall last forever. And then you know that in a plant, and this is true in our lives, the nourishment is drawn up through the roots. And so it's only as we are rooted in him, as we put our roots down into his word and get to know him, that we can draw up the nourishment. I love Colossians 2:7. Let your roots go down into him and draw up nourishment from him. See that you go on growing in the Lord and become strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Okay, so in our bloom, we're going to be the person that God's made you uniquely to be. Let love be your highest aim. Obey the instructions in God's word. And then the second O is open yourself to learning from problems. You knew we were going to talk about it, right? It's part of growth, the reign of trials. You probably have heard the old saying that says, into every life a little rain must fall. And sometimes problems are referred to as rain or as storms. But, you know, if we have problems in our lives, it's really a good sign, because it means that we're alive. Because the only people who don't have problems are not, you know, not with us. They're in cemeteries. I love your theme of the picnic in the garden, but we know that life isn't a picnic. You know, it's full of really, really hard times. And just like rain or irrigation is necessary for our plant, for plant growth, it's necessary for our growth. I grew up on 5 acres of beautiful flowers and landscaped, and my dad was a pastor, but he loved to garden also. And he was fanatic about watering. And we just kind of go, oh, brother. You know, we would leave on vacation, and he would pay people to water our garden. And he'd come back, and he was always upset because they never did a good enough job. And it was like, oh, Daddy, give it a rest. Well, now that I grow plants myself, I realize how incredibly important that rain is and that water is. And without it, certainly no growth can occur. We can't control our circumstances, ladies, of course. We can't control the rain or the water that comes into our lives. I actually have had more water damage in my life than is ridiculous. But we can control how we respond to those problems. And how we respond to those problems is what's going to cause the growth in our life. God working through those things. Accepting the fact that, yes, those problems are going to come into our life and that God can work through them no matter what. There's that verse in James. All of us kind of hate it, but it's right there. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Some of you are aware that our family has gone through an incredible trial in the last couple weeks. My nephew, Matthew Warren, has struggled with mental illness most of his life, and that mental illness eventually took his life. But God has been incredibly faithful in these last weeks, as he has wrapped his arms of love around each of the members of our family and has comforted us through his Holy Spirit and through God's people. I've learned more and more. I thought at 35 years as a pastor's wife, I knew what there was to do about grieving and comforting and all that. And I've learned, I'm like writing it down. God, this is what you do. You just show up. Let me just tell you something. Show up with a meal. Don't ask. Just show up. Just show up, put it on in a cooler on their doorstep. Say, there will be a meal at your doorstep at 5 o'clock tonight, and then make it 5 o'clock, not 6:30 as you're waiting there. But I've learned that God's people are incredibly important. Don't say to someone, well, I wish there was more I could do for you than pray. Because, ladies, the most important thing you can do when you're going through a trial or somebody else is going through a trial is to pray for them. God does. We don't understand this thing about prayer, but God does miracles through prayer. And as I've watched my brother and sister-in-law walk through this horrific trial, horrific, I've seen the prayers of God's people and the comfort of his Spirit buoying them in healthy ways. You know, they're not in denial. They are grieving hard. It was a tremendous loss, but they are going to make it. And I have no doubt that they are going to come out stronger than they were before. And if, you know, that doesn't seem possible in some ways to me, but they are, and they are clinging to God's hope and God's promises and the support of God's people in an incredibly difficult season of life. God grows us, and God grows us through trials. We don't like it. We don't understand it, but he does. He uses them. So what's the last letter? What's the M stand for in growth in this bloom of our lives? It stands for make Jesus and his grace the center of each day. I know it's a small space to write that in, but make Jesus and his grace the center of each day. This is the sunshine of his love and his grace. Second Corinthians 4:6 says, God once said, let the light shine out of the darkness. Remember? He's the one who made light. He is light, and in him is no darkness at all. This is the same God who made his light shine in our hearts by letting us know the glory of God that is in the face of Christ. Jesus really is God's sunshine in our life. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in spiritual strength and become better acquainted with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." As we spend time with Jesus and let him be the manager of our lives begin to bloom and blossom and develop and show forth his glory. Isn't that amazing? That God can show his glory through my life, my broken, messed up life. But he can. A couple things about that. Remember that it's God who causes the growth. Oh man, ladies, I forget this. You know, you don't see your plants out there going, "I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I can bloom, I can stretch." No. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." When I prune fruit trees each winter, or my husband prunes them, and I have this, you know, nice little bunch of sticks of branches that have been pruned off. Some of them have buds on them. Hopefully they don't have blooms because he did it in time. But do I save those? No. Oh, I throw them away because they're not attached to the vine anymore. They're not attached to the tree. They can't produce any fruit on their own. We can get, I don't know, sometimes I think, I grew up in a good Baptist church, and I think that we really get that salvation thing done, you know, or we get it right. We understand that there's no possible way I can jump that chasm between God and me. God is perfect and I am not. And there's no possible way I could join him in heaven except through the cross of Jesus Christ. I get that. But somewhere in my upbringing, I thought, great, Lord, that's good. Now this, thank you for saving me. I could have never done that on my own. Now I'll take it from here. And this growth thing, I can read my Bible, I can pray, I can get this done, I'm going to grow into the person that you want me to be, I'm going to follow your word. God causes the growth. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Ladies, I'm embarrassed to tell you that I just forget that, like, daily. You know, I just think, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be like Christ even. I'm going to be like him. And God causes me to stop and say, oh, that's right. He is the center of my day. And I want to follow him. The power for growth comes from the Holy Spirit. We all know that. In Galatians 5, it talks about that. He's the one who causes the fruit to appear. I have a nectarine tree in my yard. It's really young, has no fruit yet. But how ridiculous would it be if I decided, well, I'm just going to help this little tree along, and I'm going to go and get some nectarines and tie them on. No, that's not fruit bearing. You know, that's really, you know, we laughed. How ridiculous would that be? But that's like Christians going, I'm going to have joy if it kills me. We've got to get connected to him. We've got to live in his grace and let him flow out through us and bear that fruit. As we spend time with him day by day by day, being attached to the vine, then he produces this fruit in our lives. I'm trying to tell you about something that is just, God just keeps telling me over and over and over, and yet it just, I mean, you will think it says, well, yeah, duh, But I can't tell you the difference in my life when I sit daily, and I can tell every day that I don't, and I just refocus on Him and realize that He is the center of my life, and it's all about Him, and it's not about me, and it's not about my circumstances. Look at that verse, Romans 11:36. For from Him, and let's read this together. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. God doesn't want me to grow for Him. God doesn't want me to live for Him. He wants me to live and grow in Him. And ladies, I try and start my day with this verse. And like I said, I'm really embarrassed to tell you how many times, and God is so gentle. This is how you know that it's not Satan. Satan is the accuser, and he will, if you sit down to spend time with God and you hear this little voice going, you are nothing, you are just garbage, you are worthless, and you blew it again. That is not your Heavenly Father. That is not your Heavenly Father. But I have heard God's loving voice say, Shondell, it's all about me. It's not about you. It's not about your circumstances. And ladies, I don't know. It was one night this week. Yeah, it was, I think it was Tuesday night this week. We were going to, we had spent some time together with our family again, and we were going to go clean out Matthew's house the next day and pack it up. And I was tired physically, and it had been an intense day for several different reasons. And I just felt so sad and overcome. And I was already thinking and preparing and praying about this weekend. And he just said, it's not about your circumstances. It's not about Matthew. It's not even about Rick and Kay. It's about me. And all you have to do is keep focused on me. And this big weight falls off my shoulders when I get to that point, and when I remember that if I stay attached to the vine, He's going to cause that growth in me. He's going to make me who He wants me to be. One more word about this growth process. And then I have a video of a song that's been really meaningful to me that I want to share with you. And then we'll pray. But, you know, this whole growth process that I'm talking about and how we cooperate with God in this growth process and that He is the one who does the work. I don't know about you, but it's not my plants. If they're doing well, if they get the soil and the sunshine and the food and the water that they need, you know, they grow and they bloom, and that's not the way my life is. It's not like, you know, like this. It's woo, you know, and it feels so much like 3 steps forward, 2 steps back, 3 steps forward, 2 steps back, you know, and it's so frustrating. And yet I go back to that truth that my growth, my sanctification is the Bible word for it, is based on God's grace, just like my salvation. And I like take that deep breath and realize, God, You are growing me. Let's bow our heads. And with your heads bowed, I'd just like to talk to you for just a second. Maybe you came with a friend today, and you're kind of going, man, all this garden talk, I'm not sure I know this master gardener that they were talking about meeting in the garden with the seeds. He made you, and He loves you. And He wants a relationship with you. And all you have to do is say, God, I know You made me, and I know I'm not perfect. I've blown it, and I need your forgiveness. And I believe that Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected, and that through his life, I can have life. I want to give my life to you right now. It's really a simple thing of just talking to him in prayer, just like I did. Maybe you feel like you know the master gardener, and there have been times of bloom in your life, but the flowers have faded and the petals have fallen off, and you feel like God's not doing anything in your life right now. Maybe you need to say to him, God, I want to get on your path of growth. I want to get connected to you again and let you do that work of growth in my life. Maybe there are some of you who've had lots of seasons of bloom and growth and living in the sunshine of his love. And you're in one of those seasons of growth right now. Thank him for the beauty that he creates in you and through you, through no effort of yours. God, we love you so much. We can't believe that you created us and that you made a way for us to know you. We are so grateful for your grace in our lives, for the way that we can grow in your grace. Help us to remember what's important. Help us to be the people that you made us to be and not try and design our own selves. And to let love be our highest aim. Help us to spend time in your word and to obey what it says. Help us to open ourselves to letting you work through those horrible problems in our lives. Through the daily irritations, God, when things just don't go right. And then the horrific tragedies too. Thank you that you work through those. Lord, we really want you to be central in our lives every single day. Remind us. Thank you that you do. Help us to sit still long enough to hear you saying that you want to spend time with us. Help us to release those things that you have given us, the blooms, the seeds in our lives, and give them back to you, like the girls were talking about. We want to grow, God, because you made us to grow. But we want to grow with our eyes on you and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.